I'm milling about, and we're in Santa Barbara at the Urban Wine Trail, and our first stop is Santa Barbara Tasting Room with our sommelier. Can we call you that?
No.
What can we call you?
A mushroom
person, Randy. Hi.
Okay.
How you doing? Welcome.
Thank you.
We're going to start you with our Chardonnays. Our first Chardonnay is a stainless steel Chardonnay. Now, as you taste that, I want you to take a little taste of something I prepared just to go with this.
I see a jalapeno in there.
That's not a jalapeno. That's a cucumber.
Oh, okay. That's good then. So tell us a little bit about this tasting room.
Cottonwood Canyon was planted as a vineyard in 1973 in the Santa Maria Valley, east of 101. The present owner bought the vineyard in 1988 and decided to be a gentleman farmer. That lasted about a year, and then he decided he was going to make wine, and he's been making wine ever since. We were the first winery in Santa Barbara County to put in caves, so we have 6,000 square foot of caves to keep the constant humidity and temperature, which is just right for making fine wines. And away we go. We're 59 acres, 32 acres are planted in grapes. We only grow Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Syrah.
Ah, okay, so now we're tasting this Chardonnay. Very nice.
That was the skin contact Chardonnay. We do the cold fermentation, but we leave the skin on during the first 12 days of fermentation to give it a real creamy texture, and that's what gives it the creme brulee finish.
Yes, and as it breathes, it's even more creme brulee-ish, if there's a word. So, Randy, what makes Santa Barbara such a vital wine region?
The temperate climate, the nice, easy, warm days, and the cool nights.
What got you interested in the wine business?
It's kind of natural flow from getting out of the restaurant business, but still wanting to be on the fringe of it, and I've always enjoyed wine. Growing up, I grew up in Paso Robles when there was only 3 wineries there. Now there's 300.
So, Did you ever want to make your own wine? Was that of interest to you?
I have made wine for other wineries. I'll come in as a consultant and help them when they're starting out and things like that. But no, it's too much work. I'd rather just sit back and drink wine.
So do we. That's why we have this show. Okay, what do we have next?
We're going to have this is a French style. I forgot to tell you, all 3 of these Chardonnays are from the year 2009. It's the same grapes, each one a different way. And our third and final Chardonnay is what we call our Barrel Select. The winemaker and myself, we walk through the area and we taste every single barrel. And the 10 or 12 best barrels are kept in there for an extra 6 months, and that becomes the Barrel Select. This is done in 100% new French oak, and it is aged in oak for 18 months.
Wow, that's a long time.
You taste it. It's amazing.
Okay, here we go. This is also very lovely, buttery. Okay, so now we're on to the reds.
And we're going to start with our first a little side bit on this. This is a 2012 Pinot Noir, and it's actually the youngest Pinot we've ever released. Normally, our Pinots are aged for 4 years before we release them. This is our Bistro Pinot Noir. Bistro is our code word meaning ready to drink. A Bistro wine to us is one that we age a little shorter period of time, a little higher acidity, making it just that good bottle of wine you can grab every day.
Now, because of the climate, it's interesting. Do you find people enjoy lighter reds than bolder reds?
Well, I don't know. We're known for our Pinot Noirs, but we also have some pretty nice Syrahs. And I think as people get more and more into the local wines, they'll find out how much depth the wines have without being overbearing or over-jammy.
Oh, man. This is delish. This has lots of lovely berries.
You like the spice?
Yeah.
It's great.
That one's amazing. It's very spicy.
Yeah, that just has a nice, clean taste to it. I like to call that my training wheels wine. For somebody that's making their first jaunt into the red wines, this is a good starter wine for them. This is a 2001 Pinot Noir. This is a 14-year-old wine.
Ah, okay. And how long has this been at it?
This was bottled in 2004. It sat in the warehouse for 3 years in a refrigerated warehouse, and then it was released. And we allocate a couple of hundred cases every year so that it lasted. and it's just an absolutely amazing Pinot Noir. For one, it does not taste like a California Pinot Noir. This is a European style. When you taste this, you're tasting from the rootstock upward. So you'll get that earthy, complex, peat moss, mushroom, truffle, caramel smoke, and then the berries.
Oh, man. That's an amazing combination. How did you know that it would be like in that exact order?
I drank a lot of this wine. One of my favorite cooking wines, and I have recipes that I've actually created around this wine.
That is astounding.
I want people to have the tasting experience I never had, so I do that.
Excellent. Okay, tell us about this next one.
One of the big things after the movie Sideways was everybody became an expert in Pinot Noir.
I had Pinot Noir at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, it's not much later this morning. Yeah.
I have breakfast with Pinot Noir lots of times. Poached egg on day-old French bread that's soaked in Pinot Noir and heated.
Oh.
It's really delicious. This is to prove that Pinot is not all that they chalk it up to. It is a friendly grape if handled properly. This is a blend of 80% Pinot Noir and 20% Syrah.
Oh, those are my two favorites.
This is done for Santa Barbara people, they know this is the barbecue wine, the go-to tri-tip wine.
Yeah, that one's really nice. Lovely. Okay, so this one's gonna slap us upside the head, did you say?
This is our Syrah. Our Syrah is different. For one, it's grown in a temperate climate. Number two is we always pick our Syrahs at night, so there's a lot of dew and moisture on them. This is put into neutral oak and aged for 2 years.
Oh, this smells gorgeous.
It's different than most Syrahs. For one, it doesn't have that bite from the tannins, and it's not berry flavored. It's red licorice and plum.
Yes, it is. Randy, you know your notes and flavors.
Yes.
And
That is the perfect prime rib wine. I know. I do it every Christmas. I do a prime rib and Yorkshire pudding, and I have to serve this.
Bon appetit. Okay, so this is the grand finale now. Oh, but we're having chocolate. Okay. So this must be really thick wines.
There are instructions with this wine.
This
is a dessert Syrah made from that Syrah that you just had.
I love the cute little bottle that it comes in.
You'll see when you taste it why it's a small bottle. I want you to take a small sip of the wine, just enough to coat your tongue. Then you take that entire piece of chocolate and put it in your mouth and chew it 3 chews. Then you'll sip the wine through the chocolate, and then you'll be in nirvana.
Now, what happens if I only do 2 chews, Randy? Will it not be as effective?
I can't answer that because I'm trying to maintain my dignity.
All right, here we go. Here we go. You weren't kidding, but I think it's easier to have the chocolate, then drink the wine, and then drink some more wine, and keep drinking the chocolate and the wine. Okay, so what's most rewarding to you about working here?
Beautiful women like you that come and talk to me.
I'll take it.
Actually, where else are you going to work for? Your passions are food and wine, so I'm paid to do what I know best, food and wine.
Cottonwood Canyon Tasting Room. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm milling about at the Santa Barbara Winery, and joining me now is Shai. Hello.
How's it going?
I understand this is the oldest winery here. Is that true in the Funk Zone?
That's correct. We were established in 1962 by Pierre Lafon. It's the first post-prohibition era winery of its kind in Santa Barbara, hence the naming rights to Santa Barbara Winery.
Excellent. And I see you've got your barrels here, so everything is made here.
That's correct. All of our white wine is done and produced here through these doors directly to the left of us. We do all of our white wine for our production right over here. All of our red wine production is done at the Lafon Vineyards and the winery up in Santa Rita Hills.
And what got you interested in wine?
Well, that's actually a very long story. I just love the fact that I can create something that brings joy to so many people. And as a people pleaser, it's one of the best things that I can do is make wine and also be hospitable about it as well.
So we're ready to be pleased. Okay. Tell us what's the first wine here.
So the first wine that I have pouring for you on the white wine flight is going to be our Pinot Gris. This is going to be a very nice acid-driven white wine. A lot of aromatics of Granny Smith apple, a little bit of Fuji apple, and also green pear. Definitely a cocktail wine. In my opinion, it's not really going to be that food and wine pairing wine. Maybe like a summer salad, but because it's really light and crisp, it definitely needs to be drinking by itself. Or a situation, definitely like a summer side, poolside wine.
All right, let's taste it. Thank you. We are ready for the next wine. Okay. Now, tell me about Lafond's Vineyard.
So Lafond Vineyard is nestled right off of 101 in what's called the Santa Rita Hills AVA. Beautiful vineyards nestled in the middle of this picturesque Santa Rita Hills mountain ranges with over 105 acres of planted vines that are out there, primarily Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and then goes, we have Syrah, Grenache, and some Riesling planted there.
Gotcha. Okay, so tell me about this next wine that we're going to try.
Okay, so the next wine that we're trying is going to be our Orange Muscat from Mosby Vineyards. Bruce McGuire, head winemaker since 1981, also our head winemaker at Lafond, he's been making this very, very dry style of Orange Muscat. Now, when we think of Muscat, we think of Muscat Canelli or Muscat of Alexandria, Moscato, Muscat d'Oro, all these Muscat family grapes that have a nice sweet characteristic to it. This, on the other hand, is fermented 100% to dryness. There's not a single fraction of a percentage of residual sugar left over in this particular wine. Very, very nice. The aromatics are still there. We're still talking and also smelling the aromatics of that Muscat characteristic. So a lot of floral notes in the form of jasmine, honeysuckle, as well as orange blossom. But we also do get some orange zest and orange rind in the actual wine, in the palate as well.
A la Orange Muscat.
Absolutely. So it does give the brain a perception that you will be putting some sweet wine into the palate. But in all actuality, we're looking at a wine that is bone dry, very refreshing, very crisp, goes incredibly well with freshly shucked oysters and a little spray of lemon on top of it.
Ooh, okay, I'm ready. If you're just joining us, this is Milling About. We're on the Urban Wine Trail in Santa Barbara, and we're at the Santa Barbara Winery with Chai, and he's pouring us.
Pouring you a 7.3% residual sugar Riesling, as well as a 2.3% residual sugar Riesling. Now what that means is it directly corresponds with the alcohol content. So the more sugar content we have in our wines, the lower our alcohol. We're looking at a very nice Riesling with some sweetness to it. Definitely not a Cabernet in the form of German-style Rieslings, but it does have some sweetness to it. But this is our 2011. Very nice, elegant Riesling. Goes very well with some spicy Thai and also spicy Hunan cuisine because it cuts through that acid or that savoriness of the MSG as well as also the spicy characteristic with the sweetness and acid balance.
Okay, now you wrote on this. Does that come off?
Yes, it does. We do have a little orange oil polish that will come off of the glasses. But we do have the 7.3% is a much higher. It's 5% more of an increase in sugar concentration. So this is going to be a little bit more like a cheesecake dessert as opposed to like a syrupy dessert wine that you'll find. Definitely you can enjoy in a full glass. Definitely one of those wines that you can enjoy a full glass of without feeling also that sense of like having a nice sugary film coating your teeth that you get from some of those really high sugar content dessert style wines.
Yeah, this one is lovely. The 7.3 tasted sweeter. I think this one's not going to be.
I mean, nearly as sweet.
Excellent. And what's most rewarding for you about working here?
Especially during the daytime and Saturday, it's more of a one-on-one interactions, which is what I'm more about. I like that one-on-one interactions with the clientele, building a relationship, building an experience for my customers is fantastic. But when we get into that, into the later stages of the afternoon, when it becomes almost like a zoo in here, where we do have plenty of people who come visit from afar and also from near to do some wine tasting. tastings in the funk zone, it does get really hectic. But one of the most rewarding things for me is having people come back and tell and write emails to my tasting room manager saying, you know, the service was fantastic, because for me, that's what I do. I love making people happy. I love bringing, you know, a product to them that they can take back to their friends or their family and say, I had the greatest experience at this particular winery with this particular wine, and I want you to enjoy that. And wine is fantastic in any way, shape, and form.
Well, job well done. We are very satisfied, Chai. Thank you very much. Santa Barbara Winery, and we're in the Urban Wine Trail in the Funk Zone. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a great day. I'm glad that you folks had the opportunity to come in and enjoy.
Okay, next stop on the Urban Wine Trail for milling about is the River Bench Winery in Santa Barbara, and joining me now is Cassie. Hi.
Hi.
So tell me about, you're doing a sparkling blend for us today. Tell me about that.
So River Bench is a local sparkling in Santa Barbara County. Our vineyards are located in Santa Maria, and we've been making sparkling since 2009. The first one that you're going to taste is our Blanc de Blancs, which is going to have a nice green apple, kiwi, toasty. 2011, we had fire, so it's going to actually add a little smoke into it as well.
Oh, that's interesting, because of the smoke in the earth.
Mm-hmm. The Chardonnay grapes just soaked up that smoke. So everything in the environment with our grapes, our vines, everything, it just kind of soaks up the soil, the air, the water, all the flavors.
And how did you come to work in this business?
I had a friend that had a recommendation, and that was it. And I'm here, and I just fell in love with wine.
All right, let's try this. Okay, excellent. Okay, Cassie, tell us about this one.
So this one is our 2011 Blanc de Noirs. It's my favorite. It's not going to have that smokiness that the 12 had on it, because it is an 11, but it's a very crisp berry front, citrus blood orange, grapefruit in the end. So very light, crisp, and just really refreshing.
Why is it your favorite?
I tend to just love like fruity things, not necessarily sweet. So it just is easy to drink. It's an alcohol content of 12, so you feel a little good, but you're not tanked. But I could drink a bottle with friends in no time.
And what kind of food would go well with this, would you say?
I have paired this one with a bunch of seafood, like a good scallop with a little tangerine, or anything berry, to kind of just really play off the flavors that it's giving you.
Okay, let's take a try. Oh, I get the fruity flavors, mm-hmm. but it's not too sweet.
Mm-mm. No, not at all. Very light and crisp.
Very nice. You must do a very swift business for the day before New Year's Eve.
Yeah, actually, we stayed open about 3 hours after we were supposed to close on New Year's Eve, just because everybody started coming and it was packed. And we're like, we can't say no, because everybody's loved our wine. Plus, this year we did bedazzling bottles, is what we called it. So I literally went on Pinterest and we glittered bottles, and they just sold like hotcakes. It was crazy. So everybody had a sparkly bottle for New Year's.
Oh, excellent. We got to come here for New Year's Eve.
So we, behind me is kind of like what we did, but we designed them. Drew did like candy canes. We did it all through December up to New Year's.
Excellent. Okay, what do we have now?
So now we are pouring the demi-sec, which is going to be Chardonnay. So it's going to have a nice half-sweet, half-dry. Our demi-sec is on the drier side, and again, it's a 2012, so it definitely has that smoke in it, a light pear, and then you'll have a little sweetness that kind of hits your palate at the end. So I kind of describe it as a fluffiness.
And what does this go well with?
Since this one is more of a drier one, I don't like to necessarily tell people it tastes like a Gouda cheese before you taste it, but since it's a demi-sec, normally people say sweet wines go with desserts. His face is priceless. But I feel like a really good creamy risotto, this would be really refreshing with. Do you taste the Gouda cheese?
I do, and I taste it's very buttery as well.
Yeah, so that's the half sweet, half dry, little residual sugar that we put into it.
I love this one. This one's my favorite.
Good.
Yeah, I like, you know, I gravitate towards more oaky, buttery types of flavor. And I usually don't get that in a champagne, so this is really my first time trying something like this.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Like marshmallowy.
Marshmallow, there you go. Fluff. Marshmallow fluff or something.
Uh-huh. All right, I'll take that one.
Yeah.
Tell me about the other events that you do at River Bench Winery.
Each month we try to come up with just original events in Santa Barbara or at our vineyards in Santa Maria. This February we are having a Valentine's Day mixer where we're opening up our Pinot, which is our Tributary 2010. It's a $100 bottle of Pinot that we never taste, so we're going to be doing by the glass and tastings, but we'll also have a couple of like cheese plates, charcuterie, some fruit, veggies, but we also have events like National Fortune Cookie Day to where we'll just buy fortune cookies and say have a fortune cookie with a flight. So anywhere from like simple events to we have personal chefs come in and do tastings, kind of teach you about how to pair wine with food. So everything is going to clearly be wine-centered, but we also have events where it's game night, so we'll bring Twister in, Jenga. We actually had...
I can't imagine people doing Twister and tasting wine. That would be very difficult.
It's funny.
So what's most rewarding for you, Cassie, about working in this business, would you say?
I love to see people get excited about wine, and if I can pair something with their palate that they love, it's just really exciting to serve our customers in a good way with good wine. So just seeing our customers being happy.
Okay, so you've been listening to Milling About at the Urban Wine Trail in Santa Barbara, California.